الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to EDARS.com.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا، صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. درش پڑھ Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, continuing with the biography of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, many of the tribes in and around Madinatul Munawwara had accepted Islam. One particular tribe known as Banu Ramlah, Banu Ramlah. This tribe became a problem tribe for the Muslims in Madinatul Munawwara. A lot of menace that came from this tribe. They were not Muslims, but at the same time a lot of difficulty came from the Banu Ramlah people. The Banu Ramlah were people of the mountain. They lived in the mountainous terrain of Madinatul Munawwara, physically very strong, very powerful people, and their dwellings were virtually impossible to get to. They lived very high up in the mountains, deep in the mountains, and therefore these were individuals who would not even mix with the other tribes. They would not want any of their children marrying in other tribes or even vice versa. Very, very strong people. These were people who knew the roots. They were masters in the roots that would cut through the mountains. And the mountains around Madinatul Munawwara were like dominoes standing one after another, one behind another. That is how the mountains are in Madinatul Munawwara. The people of Banu Ramlah had taken up an occupation of looting and raiding the trading caravans that passed by. The reason for that was very simple. They were high in the mountains. Whenever a trading caravan would pass by, they would launch an ambush attack on that. Very quickly, a group of people would take all the goods, merchandise, clothes, food, whatever, and very quickly disappear in the mountains. And it was virtually impossible for anyone to pursue them. They lived in the inaccessible defiles of the mountains. That is where the Banu Ramlah people were settled. It was impossible for anyone to get there. In fact, they were such private, conservative people that they would not even take guests to their locality. Very, very quiet people would come and go, would come and go. And they knew the mountains of Madinatul Munawwara very well. They knew all the routes and the shortcuts that were the main routes going to Syria and also outside Madinatul Munawwara. Now what would happen is that it wasn't just looting and stealing. Slowly the people of Banu Ramlah started raiding the suburbs of Madinatul Munawwara. And the people of Medina would come. By now, of course, Islam was a powerful force. The capital of the Islamic Empire was Madinatul Munawwara. and if there was difficulty, especially in the suburbs of Madinatul Munawwara, that could escalate to Madina Munawwara, and therefore the people would come and they would complain to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, these are the thieves, Banu Ramla people, that they come and they take everything away from us, and then they rush back into the mountains and just disappear. So now imagine fighting an invisible enemy is quite difficult. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam immediately decided to take some punitive action, and he appointed Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an for this mission. And so a small group of the Muslim army was with Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, all prepared to go and speak with the people of Banu Ramla, to subdue them, to put some sense in them, of course to invite them to Islam first, and to tell them that immediately they need to stop, because Muslims are a powerful force now, they have a military also. And this was just a small group, a small regiment from the Muslim army that was with Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an. Now in the beginning it didn't seem that the Banu Ramla people would be so difficult to handle, as they were just looting and stealing and raiding the suburbs of Madinatul Munawwara. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an went towards the mountains. Now it was so difficult for Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an to ascertain which zone to take, which passage to take, and to actually meet the people of Banu Ramla. It was very, very difficult. And so there was no map, there was no one who knew the routes. Nobody actually knew. If you were not a member of the Banu Ramla tribe, it was difficult to even know where these people are, settled very high in the mountain. So Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala decided just to take the established route, which was common usage of all the people that were there, which would take one into the mountains. And so the Muslim army, the Mujahideen, with Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, went deep and penetrated into the mountainous terrain. They did not meet with any kind of resistance from the Banu Ramla people. And Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an could not see even the enemies. It was quite difficult. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an was just going further up towards the mountains, hoping that maybe a member of the Banu Ramla individual would meet up and perhaps to negotiate the matters and pass on the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now when the Muslims in the night were resting in their camps, what had happened is that all of a sudden a large group from the Banu Ramla people launched a surprise attack on the Muslims, and the Muslims were sleeping. Now many of the Muslims became shaheed, and there was a lot of panic, a lot of confusion in the night. There's no light, electricity, it was all dark, and also a terrain which was alien to the companions, Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'een. They were not used to fighting in the mountains. This was the first exposure given to the companions under the leadership of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an. So there was a lot of panic, a lot of confusion. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an decided that the best option should be to retreat and to return back, so that it should not look like a suicidal mission, just waiting there for them to come and harm the Muslimin. And so immediately Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an said that all of you get back and let's go back to Madinatul Munawwara. So they came back to Madinatul Munawwara. Everything was explained to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now with this first campaign against Banu Ramla, it was also a fact-finding mission, a reconnaissance mission also, to see the locations, how these people are and where they are and what they could do. And so they spoke to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam decided that this was the best option, of course, was it Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an to come back. After a few days, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Umar ibn al-Khattab that Umar ibn al-Khattab should be the Amir, and for the second time to go and fight the people of Banu Ramla with a group of Mujahideen, again a small group of Mujahideen. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was also a great warrior, a very powerful man. But remember, these were people who were not exposed to fighting in the mountains. It was always in the open, and it was the enemy at that time during the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of course, we covered the Khilafat of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, Umar radiallahu ta'ala and Usman radiallahu ta'ala, and that was quite different. But in the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was the conventional style of fighting. The enemies were in front of you. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala and also went, and he took the same route. And unfortunately the same thing. What had happened to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an is that the Banu Ramla people were scattered in the different areas of the mountain and would quickly launch an ambush attack on the Muslims and then hide away in the mountain. Would attack and hide away. So you couldn't see the enemy and you couldn't even speak with somebody. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an again consulted some of the mujahideen that were there, and what they did is that they looked at the area around and possibly where the Banu Ramla people could be, and so a lot of information was taken, and then thereafter again the second group of people returned back to Medina Munawwara and put in front of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam more information, and included that with the information given by Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and what you did was right. You need a lot of intelligence, and sometimes retreating or turning back does not mean defeat, but in fact it can also prove to be the best step and victory for the Muslims. Just like in the case of Sulh Hudaybiyah, where Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had accepted the terms and the conditions of the kuffar. Thereafter a few days, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then called Hazrat Amr ibn al-As. Now it's just a group of people, a tribe, but it became difficult for the Muslims to tackle them because of their locations and how their settlements were right up in the mountains. It was quite difficult for the Muslims to launch an attack at them, and the Muslims didn't know their whereabouts. Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala, again a very famous mujahid, and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him that you are the Amir, again take with you whoever you want and first invite them. If they don't accept, explain to them jizya, and if they don't accept, then make sure you wage jihad against them. Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala also took the same route, and with the information that he had, he also penetrated deep into the mountainous terrain, and he was also fired with a lot of the archers that were hiding in the different locations of the mountains, and again the same tactic, like an ambush attack, and it was extremely difficult for Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala, and also, and he met up with the same fate which was faced with the mujahideen that were with Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Many of the mujahid with Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala had become shaheed. Again Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala came down. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala, and then you had the shura, senior companions that were sitting with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all the information this time was gathered. Independent individuals from the Arabs, from the different tribes, would even go to see and to study the mountains in which the Banu Ramla people were hiding. And then after all the information that was given, it was put in front of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this time Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, for the fourth campaign and expedition, this will be under the leadership of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. But by now a lot of information was given. So Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala had explained to Hazrat Ali that this is the route you need to take. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala gave his experience. Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala gave his information and his experience. You had the other mujahideen who had explained to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and all of them came to one understanding that the reason why all of the campaigns failed to tackle the people of Banu Ramla was because Muslims were taking, the Mujahideen were taking the same route all the time. And because of the same route, it was difficult for the Mujahideen to penetrate further and to attack them. And so Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was given advice that he should go from the mountainous tracks. He should use the mountain tracks to get up, and that was a difficult journey for the Mujahideen. But that is where the Banu Ramla people were, and they would not expect anyone, especially the Muslim army, to attack them from the back. So from the mountainous tracks, the Mujahideen, a group of people with the dua of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an had taken this group. And when they got on the top, what was happening is that from the back, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an could see the entire army of the Banu Ramla people and all the archers and all the different groups that were there. And what they would do is during the day they would hide, and in the night they would attack the enemies. In the night they would attack the enemies. But they didn't look behind. That behind were the Muslims now hiding. And so Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala very cleverly said to the Mujahideen that were there, we will play the same trick that they have been playing with the Muslims, with all the different expeditions and campaigns. And so Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala said to the group of Mujahideen that during the day you hide and take a rest. And so the Mujahideen were resting and hiding. And in the early hours of the night, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an and all of the Mujahideen launched a surprise attack on the people of Banu Ramla. And they took a massive defeat. Many of them were killed, and many of them were taken as prisoners, and all of them surrendered at the hands of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Again, a very important contribution that comes from Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. As Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an was victorious, and he came with a group of the youth from Banu Ramla first, and they entered Madinatul Munawwara. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was extremely happy with Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. Now scholars have mentioned that again the wisdom in this was, every time an army went, this was actually giving them a lot of experience also. So although it was in the beginning they had to retreat, but in a way it was also an opportunity to train and to experience the difficulty that one can face in a guerrilla warfare style battle. And so Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and the Mujahideen got a bit of confidence and training. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala got a bit of training. Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala got a bit of training. And the final victory with Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala was after all the experience that came from the group of Mujahideen that started initially with Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. So ulama have mentioned that the credit actually goes to all of the companions that were there that had given information to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Now this was the first exposure for the Muslims to fight in the mountains. That's why ulama have mentioned that the most difficult method of fighting people is when people hide themselves in the mountains. When people hide themselves in the mountains. No matter what the technology that you have, but generally you will find, if you study history, that has been the most difficult way of fighting. Even when you look at Vietnam, this was the same style. They would hide underground, make tunnels. In fact, there was an entire city underground. They had everything underneath, and they would just pop out and attack and go back down again. And even Afghanistan and that part of the terrain, that they can hide very quickly, come out. So it becomes very, very difficult. So it was difficult for the Muslims to fight the people of Banu Ramla because the enemy was not visible. The enemy was not visible. It was someone who was completely invisible. But alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave victory to the Muslims. After Banu Ramla surrendering to the Muslims and majority of them had embraced Islam, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was now looking at Yemen, the people of Yemen, that they should also become Muslims. Now the mission for Yemen was given to Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala an. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Khalid that you are appointed as an Amir. Yemen The Yemeni people were powerful people. The Yemeni people were people who were very proud of their ancient civilization and their culture. And so Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala an, this man, his occupation is that he's a soldier and a swordsman. Soldier and a swordsman. So he came with an army from Madinatul Munawwara going towards Yemen, and he met with the elite people, the leaders in Yemen. Now at that time, during the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, believe it or not, Yemen was in the control of the Christian priests and the Jewish rabbis. The Christian priests and the Jewish rabbis. The Jews were of course learned people, they could read and write. The Christians were also powerful people in a sense that the Jewish rabbis and the Christians would always make decisions together. And they had a lot of influence upon the people, the indigenous people of Yemen. Although they were mushrikeen, but the people of authority were the Christians and also the Jews. And so they had this mixed understanding of faith and religion during the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala an came to Yemen and said to them that you have a choice, and the first option is that you say that there is no God but Allah and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the final messenger. Again we see that Hazrat Khalid bin Walid was a very sensible man. He was not a man who would just jump into a fight in a battlefield and that his wish was only to fight other opponents and individuals and communities. That was not Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala obeyed the instructions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so when he met up with the people of Yemen, what the Yemeni people were saying to him, the Christians and the Jewish people, is that we are scholars. How is it possible for the people who live in the interior of Arabia that they come to us now and they explain to us what is right and what is wrong? What is right and what is wrong? So we will not accept the message that comes from Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala an. Now, they were not prepared to fight the army of the Muslimin, especially under the leadership of Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala an. They would never want to take on Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala an. So the picture they put in front of him is that we want a dialogue. We want a debate. We want discussions. That we want to do bahas, mubahasa, munazara. That look, how is it possible that Islam is a true religion when we have Musa alayhi salam and we have Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, when you have the Jews and you have the Christians? What is this third religion that has emerged in Arabia and that you tell us that you are a dominant force now? Now for 6 months, Hazrat Khalid bin Walid stayed in Yemen, inviting them towards Islam. Now we need to understand that Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala was a soldier, not necessarily a scholar. He was a soldier, and Allah had blessed him with a lot of different talents in the battlefield, and also the fact that he was a late convert to Islam. He was a very late convert to Islam. He embraced Islam during the time of Fath Makkah, so that was very, very late. And so when they would speak to Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala an about debates and discussions, Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala an was an intelligent man. So what he said, wait, I will leave the army here. And Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala an went to Madinatul Munawwara and he gave the true picture to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam that you have a lot of their scholars and the rabbis, and with what they want is not a duel in the battlefield, but a duel with the tongue. And so Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Khalid bin Walid, what you did is right. What you did is right, coming back here. And now I want you to stay here with me in Madinatul Munawwara, that we can make use of you. So the Khalid bin Walid stayed in Madina Munawwara, and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that in Yemen, there was not a need for a man of Khalid bin Walid and his caliber. Khalid bin Walid will be in use later on. MashaAllah, he's the man who opened up Iraq, and in fact, majority of the Islamic countries today, it is the contribution of this great man. And so instead, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Hazrat Ali, that Ali, you go to Yemen and take the place of Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala. Now you need to understand, my respected brothers, that Hazrat Ali was also a great scholar. From a very young age, he was under the wing of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, living with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it was his brother that spoke to the Najashi of Abyssinia when the first migrants went to Abyssinia. And when he spoke to, it was Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, the son of Abu Talib, who's the brother of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, who spoke and convinced the Najashi that Islam is a true religion. And later on this man had also embraced Islam. So it was the works of the brother of Hazrat Ali. So Hazrat Ali was also a great scholar. He was also a great scholar. So intelligence is very, very important. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an got to Yemen. And so he met up with all the priests that were there and the rabbis that were there, all of them, and said, who is this new man? And of course they had heard of the cousin of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an said that, you people are lucky that Khalid bin Walid is not here. You people are lucky that Khalid bin Walid is not here and that I am here. But really, how lucky are they? Wallahu alam. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an started speaking to them that my brother Khalid has told me that you people want a debate, discussions, dialogue, and therefore I have come to speak with you to negotiate matters. And they said, no, we want to expose you. They said to Hazrat Ali, we want to expose you and we want a public debate in Yemen. A public debate. And so everybody, all the Yemeni people should be there, the rabbis and the Christians, and everybody should be there. The Christians were so confident that we take on anybody, and especially Ali, who is Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And so Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala accepted the challenge. And remember, all of them spoke Arabic. At that time they spoke Arabic. Arabic was the language. And so they came one day, all the public was there, Yemeni people were there, the debate started. It was with the Christians, the priests that were there. And they said to Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, that you have heard of Isa or Jesus, what a man he was. And then they started off by explaining all of the miracles that he gave life to the dead. And slowly after his miracles, they connected him, aliyazu billah, to being the son of God. And that only Christianity is the right way of life and Christianity is the true religion. And your salvation would only depend in following the teachings of Jesus, Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu was salam, but only if you accept him to be the son of God. Accept him to be the son of God. A few days ago we had a lady here in the mosque car park, and it was actually during our Eid al-Adha khutbah. After khutbah, this lady was complaining about a car that was blocking her gates where she lives, and she said, I want to make a complaint, and that this was not the teachings of the Prophet. So I said to this old lady that, you know, in my sermon today I spoke about Jesus, and that was the khutbah, Mushtaq. So I spoke about Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and she said to me, oh, you Muslims also believe in Isa alayhi salam, Jesus. I said, of course we believe in Jesus, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And so I said, let me speak to you about Isa alayhi salam. She said to me, no, I'm a very practicing Christian. I'm a very practicing Christian. But I said, as Muslims, we also love Jesus. And I think it's something that you need to know. And then she said to me, yes, but you don't take him to be the son of God. I said, yes, we don't take him to be the son of God, but we take him to be the mighty messenger of Allah. We take him to be the great prophet of Allah. And we accept all of the miracles of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Khair, she was not interested. But our duty was at least to break the ice and explain to her. And so Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an was there, and he heard all about Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Of course we have all the mentionings of Isa alayhi salam in the Quran. Surah Maryam, Surah Ali Imran speaks of the family of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And then it was time for Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala to speak. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala said to them, do you people know that no man, No Muslim is a Muslim until he believes in Isa alayhi salam. No Muslim is a Muslim until he believes in Isa alayhi salatu wa salam. And then Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala and started to quote from their scriptures. He started to speak from their scriptures. And he said, it is in your Bible, in your Injil, where it is mentioned that the last Nabi would come and his name is Ahmad and his name is Muhammad. And he showed them in their Bible that this is the mention of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is the mention of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And they were shocked at the intelligence and the knowledge of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Imagine speaking to them in their language and speaking to them and teaching them about their scriptures. That never mind not accepting the message of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but it is in your Injil that Isa alayhi salam has clearly mentioned that after me a Nabi will come. And he said to them, I want you to open this, I want you to open this passage, I want to open this passage. And by now the priests were finding it very, very difficult to answer the questions of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. And then he said that we accept Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam as a Nabi of Allah. And if you become a Muslim, that would mean that you believe in Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, and also Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So you actually connect yourself to this unbroken chain of all the prophets that came. And very eloquently spoke to them. And subhanallah al-azim, the first man who was considered to be the most powerful individual, whose name is Hazrat Ka'b. Hazrat Ka'b, a high priest in Yemen. And in that gathering it is said that he became a Muslim. So when he became a Muslim, others also became Muslims. Slowly the news was spreading that a Muslim man came from Medina and he has defeated all the Christians in Yemen. And so a lot of the Arabs were now also wanting to embrace Islam. That this is the true message. And then this was a debate over with the Christians. But the Ahle Yahud, the Jews, the Jewish people were saying, no, you haven't debated us. You haven't debated us. So again, after a few days, there was now another debate in Yemen with Hazrat Ali and the Jewish rabbis. And this debate, ulama have mentioned, it lasted for 7 days. How many days? 7 days. And by the mercy of Allah, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala and would speak to them from the Torah also. And explain to them that Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam are all brothers. But the difference is that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is Khatamun Nabiyyin. And subhanallah, when he would speak, it is said that they would also understand. And it would actually penetrate their hearts and they would understand what is right and what is wrong. Many of the Jewish people also embrace Islam. And then Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala and stayed in Yemen for a long period of time. It is said that majority of the Yemeni people had embraced Islam. Of course, this was again the mu'jiza and the barakat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so we see, my respected brothers, that each sahabi was given a gift. Hazrat Khalid bin Walid, mashallah, he was superb in his own way. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala in his own way. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, what can we speak about him? A man who was so close to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We've covered his biography. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala. And so all of them were great mujahideen. So it is so important that at the right time you have the right individual to speak to someone. That is why, my respected brothers, that sometimes your experience can also help you with knowledge. Your experience can also help you with knowledge. And knowledge is very, very important. So you have to see who that opponent is. And that is how you actually speak to him and resolve the difficulty that is there. When we were in Darul Bari, going back many, many years ago, there was this male nurse who would come to Darul Bari just to check out the students and generally to see their health, their height and the growth. And so by law, they would, because it was a private madrasa, there was a GP, a doctor that would come. He was a Muslim doctor. But the male nurse that would come, he was actually a Christian. And he would use my room. So the room that I was in, that was like the room for this male nurse. and all of the students were queued up behind, and one by one somebody would come and he would note the height, the weight, the growth, and if they had any issues, you know, they could relate to this man. And he was a male nurse that was there, a very nice man, a very nice man. And when I was there with him, I would offer him a cup of tea, that if you want tea, but I had to be there in the room. So if he wanted anything, he would ask me. Very slowly this man started saying to me that, what do you students do in this beautiful place? There's a lot of respect we see with the students. And he saw my books of hadith and all that and said, what are these? I said, these are the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Very slowly he started speaking. And the picture that he gave me is that this man was like a missionary, and his intention was to invite me to Christianity. His intention was to invite me to Christianity. Allah save us all. Subhanallah. Who are we, my respected brothers? All power is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All praise is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this was in his intention, without a doubt, that if I could put doubt and plant the seeds of doubt even in one student, in the heart of one student, I've done my job. And he was actually a born again Christian. And brothers will know that born again Christians are very difficult to tackle. So he was a born again Christian, and he started speaking to me. And I said to him, look, you have to do your job at this minute, but you know, if you want, we can speak again. Now what he would do is that he would come to Darul Bari on the weekends. So he would say, I'll come either Saturday and Sunday, and I would want to speak with you. And I said, fine, alhamdulillah. I'm not a man who's going to be who'll shy off from the false that you present to us. And he would come. He had all of these books, the Bible, and written by other people, this, that, at that time. And he would sit. I still remember he would sit on the bed, Mushtaq, and he would say, like, let's talk. And we would talk for about 4 to 5 hours, just debating. And he would say, no, haq is Christianity. And I would say, no, haq is Islam. Haq is Christianity. And I would say, no, haq is Islam. And so he would say something about Isa alayhi salam. I would say, no, but Allah says in the Quran this. And these are the words of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And it was this man who made me study more about Islam and also Christianity. And so for the whole week, not just our sabak that we had to learn in Darul when you were doing your alim course, it was quite difficult, because from the 9, 10, 11 books, if you failed 3 books, you would have to repeat the whole year. So it was quite a challenge at that time, so you couldn't fail any of the kitabs. So with that, we would also, I had to study other books. Now these were unofficial meetings, and it would not be nice for this man to come to Darul Bari, but obviously he would come as a guest to visit me. And I felt in my heart that perhaps it's the right opportunity, let this man come. And alhamdulillah, he would come without fail. There were also times when he took me to Berry to visit one of the church, and we went and he said, this is the priest, this is what we are taught. I said, never mind that. Then I took him in Berry to the masjid of Maulana Bilal Sahib. I said, this is our masjid and all that. So whatever he would do, we would do the same, alhamdulillah. By the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after 1 year of debate and discussions and dialogue, this man was adamant, if I could make anyone Christian, is this young boy. And Allahu Akbar, Allah save us. Allahumma tawaffana muslimun walhikna bisalihin. May Allah give us death with iman. And all praises be to Allah. And we were adamant that inshallah, Allah will open his heart. And so after one year, he rang me on a Sunday morning and he said to me, Muhammad, I need to speak to you. I said, what's the problem? And he said to me, I was having a shower, and whilst having a shower, I started to cry, and it seemed like as if there was this light that entered my heart. Like a light that entered my heart. And after my shower, I want to say to you that if I was to die now, I would die as a Muslim. And I said to him, Subhanallah. I said, Subhanallah, what good news, what good news. I said, let me come to Berry and meet you. He goes to me, no, I'm coming to Darul Bari. And Subhanallah, he came and he embraced Islam. And he also chose a name for himself. And he chose the name Ismail. And he said Ismail is connected to Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam. And I chose Ismail alayhi salam because my connection now is with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Ismail alayhi salam is the father of the Arabs. Is the father of the Arabs. So he chose the name Ismail. And in fact, my father will also remember that many a times he even came to our house and he stayed with us in Leicester here. But mashallah, this man was extremely intelligent. And the level of his English, when he would speak, you'd need the Oxford Dictionary just to understand some of the words. And I would say to him, hang on, you're speaking too fast for me. Let us speak to me properly in simple words so that I understand. He was like a professor. And then, but one thing what he said to me that, you know, although I was a male nurse, but part of my job was also to spread the mission of God. And that was, of course, what Christianity teaches them. And actually, in a way, to find out what was happening inside this building and this institute of Darul Bari. But subhanallah, the power of Islam is such that you come in a place of knowledge. And if you are a true seeker, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you hidayat. And so sometimes, my respected brothers, knowledge and ulama and scholars are a great blessing and a ni'mah. Just imagine Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. From a very young age, he stayed in the company of Rasulullah. And so he knew exactly of all the mentioning in the Injil and Torah where Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam had been mentioned. Why? Because a lot of the Jewish people in Yathrib, in Medina, would open up the Torah and Injil in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they would say that, your name is here, your name is here, your name is here, your name is here. And so he would witness that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana muhammadin nabiyil ummi wa ala alihi wa sallim taslima. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Sami'na wa ata'na gufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.